Abraham Lincoln Brigade. No pass it on, no pass it on, so sang the Abe Lincoln Brigade. Across the years and the oceans, we still sing the song of the Abraham Lincoln Brigade.
Good morning. You're listening to KBOO Portland, and it is now just 9 o'clock. Excuse me, it's 10 o'clock. It's 9:59. Coming up on the Boo at 10:15, Flashpoints reports on Mexican environmentalist Gustavo Castro, who was wounded after the murder of Honduran indigenous leader Berta Cáceres. He is free and back in Mexico. And we hear from the author of Unsettled, Cambodian Refugees in the New York City Hyperghetto. And at 11, it's the KBOO Bike Show, bringing you news and views of cycling in Portland and beyond. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. Not a current member? You can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia, with headlines, interviews, and commentary by Chris Andre.
Oh, my house of Israel,
why will you die?
Why will you die?
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Amish Project, a play running from April 8th through April 24th at the Portland Actors Conservatory.
The Amish Project explores the human effects of tragedy and the profound forgiveness of the Amish after a lone man shot 10 Amish children, ages 6 to 13, in their schoolhouse.
Again, that's The Amish Project, a play by Jessica Dickey and directed by Beth Harper at the Portland Actors Conservatory, 1436 Southwest Montgomery Street in Portland.
More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, April 6th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, Real Community Radio, at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Weather for today, sunny, highs around 77, and that's something to be either extremely giddy with pleasure about, or giddy with the absolute horror of what this means and what it portends. We are going to be staring straight down both barrels of a terrifying summer. If you farm, you've already seen that nothing, and I mean nothing, that we once depended upon as far as being predicting conditions, none of that holds true anymore. The compass is as just swings in wild arcs, and the farmer's almanac no longer has much to offer. It is important in farming to have some idea of the range of, in chaos theory, we would say, where the strange attractors lie. But not now, not now. We are in absolute free fall. So enjoy the lovely day, because your days are numbered. It's really something. I mean it. And that said, calm winds of 5 to 9 tonight, mostly clear, lows around 47. And for tomorrow, sunny with a high near 83. And tomorrow night, mostly clear, lows around 53. Not much in the way of wind anywhere along the line. We do have a few headlines to get through. We want to talk about a Guyan hero, Twilly Cannon, and the origins of the Ruckus Society. Now's the time to talk because, as Michael Donnelly, writing in Counterpunch, mentions, it's very, very important to call up the spirits of Hey Duke and every group of, what would we call them? Anarcho-environmentalists, such as the Monkey Wrench Gang, perhaps. We need them now more than ever. Now is the time. So, cheers to Twilly Cannon and the Ruckus Society, Michael Donnelly, writing in Counterpunch. We do have right now Robert Craig with Citizen Action Wisconsin on the line to talk to us about what happened in Wisconsin. The primary reveals that outsourcing is a dominant campaign issue. We just this morning in Pfizer and Allergan, that deal went down in flames, a deal which just mere months ago would have been signed by now. But no, people are beginning. It turns out this is a huge issue in this campaign where it looked like clouds of ignorance were going to obscure pretty much anything that resembled thought or a serious analysis. Nope. Turns out people are looking very hard at the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the misery that it is wrought with their own lives. They're beginning to look at deals that once were the offshore tax havens that no one ever gave much thought to, unless they've been promised one for their very own, and now find that was not going to be in the cards at all. With that said, I want to bring in Robert Craig, Citizen Action Wisconsin, to talk about this. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning. It was great to be with you, Chris.
And yeah, it's terrific to have you back on the KBOO airwaves. And it seems that what is emanating from Wisconsin touches the rest of the country. We will have witnessed Scott Walker's tumultuous falling out with Trump, and now Trump seems to be deconstructing himself with his own words. But in Wisconsin, more so perhaps than anywhere else, we see very, very clearly that people have had it with trade deals and the tax havens. Well, it's more than just havens. It's all manner of tax loopholes that you could drive a train through that are out there and available to very, very wealthy. This country, the USA itself, is a tax haven. We never think about that. We think about other places like Panama, like Switzerland, but the rest of the world, looking back at us, sees us as a tax haven. What happened in Wisconsin? It was very interesting in this particular electoral climate.
So you have a specter in Wisconsin. This has been developing through a number of primaries, but it was even accentuated in Wisconsin, that all the major candidates say they're against the Trans-Pacific Partnership and against outsourcing and want to do things about it. So the whole thing was started out by Bernie Sanders and then by Donald Trump, and they barnstormed the state of Wisconsin on this issue. The Republicans want to say that they hate Trump because he's a racist and because he's a sexist. The fact is they don't like him for violating sacred cows, like their support for a global trade agreement. But in each party, what's happened is that Hillary has moved much closer to Bernie and now is against TPP and, in fact, has taken a position that has shocked some of her corporate supporters, saying that she wants to claw back all tax benefits to go to a company that's outsourced, going years back, which we fully support, but which is a stunningly radical position for given Hillary's support previously for these trade agreements and for unwillingness to do anything about outsourcing. And then Ted Cruz, of all people, now has turned around and is against TPP, even though he voted for the fast track. He now says he voted against, the second time he voted against it, and he is against TPP. And his closing ad in Wisconsin, which was kind of a Morning in America kind of knockoff, with him walking around cornfields and with cows and all of that, had him say that he's going to bring the jobs back from China. So he's literally running on this. And so the only guy in the race, Chris, that was who came in a distant fifth in the race who supports TPP is John Kasich. And so they really are adjusting. Well, Bernie on principle, but the others are kind of going along, and Trump based on his sort of his instincts with what the public already knows, that if the economy is rigged against average people, and these global trade agreements are part of the rigging.
And Donald Trump, of course, must be one of the front runners when it comes to availing himself of the tax havens. So it turns out that Wisconsin, once again, in the aftermath as the dust settles, and now the whole country's refusal to accept the trade deals that have been forced on it. This is going to change, it seems like it might change everything. I don't want to make sweeping generalizations. It sounds so great to say this changes everything, but maybe it does. And that's
an opening. An opening for the change of everything. We have to make it happen, but it's a huge opening and really the biggest opportunity since we started this whole series of agreements in 1995 with NAFTA and with Clinton's sort of betrayal of the public by not having any of the standards on the environment and worker standards that he promised when he ran for president in 92. So it's an opening to change all of this, but we have to still do it.
Give an example of how trade deals have affected your state of Wisconsin as a sort of clue as to why people there issued a wake-up call to the rest of the country, as it were.
We've lost over 100,000 manufacturing jobs. That's a net. In other words, many fewer there are. And in Wisconsin, even more than the rest of the country where this is a problem, almost all of the middle-class jobs that have been lost during the last decade and a half are being replaced by very low-wage service sector jobs, so much so that our real income is down 14.8% since the year 2000. And even as employment increases, poverty is increasing. And you don't see those lines on a graph go together. And they show that the jobs that we do have are poverty wage jobs. And so the public is waking up to this and realizing that their own elected officials in league with corporate CEOs have been busily setting up the economy against them. And in fact, in Wisconsin, we've had scandals where economic development money is given by Governor Walker to companies that are engaged in outsourcing more jobs than we're paying them to create, which is just amazing.
Scott Walker, what a piece of work. We don't have much time left, but do you want to just anything you would like to refer our listeners' attention to? Particularly, I mean, the website, Citizen Action Wisconsin, is an interesting website because it does a great job, I think, of taking apart some of the political machinery and finding out exactly how it does work.
I think in yesterday's primary, Chris, that Cruz wins because Cruz runs as the establishment candidate, and the whole Republican establishment, Paul Ryan and Scott Walker and Rentz Priebus, the Republican National Committee chair, are behind him. And so it was an establishment victory over Trump, whereas on the other side, where Bernie Sanders won, he won with huge majorities among young people. He got 80% of the vote of people 29 and under, and he won by over 2-1 in people from the 30 to 45-year-old bracket. And so there's really something going on with young voters and that we need to pay attention to, and the millennial generation is an extremely progressive generation, and they are not buying kind of what what Hillary is trying to sell right now.
Robert, thank you so much. It's just been great to speaking with you again, and the first person that I thought of calling in after this round. Thanks again. I've been speaking, of course, with Robert Craig with Citizen Action Wisconsin. We're going to just try to breeze through a couple of headlines in the few minutes that we have left. That was something that we just saw, Bernie Sanders and Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz, we need to remind ourselves that many people consider Cruz to be way worse than Trump, way to the right of Trump. He would definitely want to run the country on biblical principles. Yeah, that's true. That's what Ted Cruz would like to bring to America. He is also universally loathed by his cohorts, and is taking a long, hard look at. Just because he's not Trump doesn't mean he doesn't have the capacity to be a worse choice than Trump. In the last 10 months, Donald Trump has turned the political landscape on its side. He's introduced countless numbers to hate speech and racist conspiracy theories, but until now, most of it's been largely anecdotal. With the help of Google AdWords Hate Watch, that Southern Poverty Law Center worked to see just how heavily Trump's continued embrace of racist and extremist ideas have influenced his supporters. And it turns out that the numbers are pretty staggering. We are fresh out of time. I'd like, though, to leave this on the website for listeners to take a look at their leisure. This is BXK here for Wednesday, April 6, 2016. Patsy Kohlberg engineered for us today. Thanks, Patsy. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.